Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
So, good morning, everybody. Good morning. What a beautiful, beautiful time of worship. What beautiful words to sing, hey? To just say, God, we look back, we recount. 1, 2, 3, 4. Can't even count them all. Father, you've been so faithful to us. Today, here we are. We present ourselves as people to you. The starting point of our lives is to say that everything we have comes from you, and we are grateful for it. Thank you for your love. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for the miracles, big and small. Today we just think about the things that you've been so kind to us about that we didn't even think was a miracle, but today you're just dropping it into our spirit. You know what? It was a miracle. Lord, the very clothes we have on our back, the food we eat, the transport we took, the friends, the family, the jobs, the provision, the meaning, the purpose, the church we have, the community we have, our life groups and our life group leaders, our team leaders, the people we do life with. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Today we pray that we would follow you, Jesus, into your ways, and we would be people who respond to you, God, from a place of gratitude. Let our giving today, our sowing and our investing, as we, this once a year time where as a church we come together to give, may this be a time where we follow you, Jesus, because you gave, but may it be a time where our giving glorifies you, God, honors you, blesses you, and gives you glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody, in this 10 o'clock, who is grateful to God, give him some thanks and give him some praise. He's good, hey? This team was incredible. Give them a wonderful round of applause and thanks. And I'm going to ask you to take your seats, but as you do so, just turn to somebody and quickly tell them they look dodgy and you look wonderful. There we go. Last year, I had the great privilege of meeting the marketing director for Nando's globally. He's a man called Doug Place. His assistant, when I set up the meeting, he comes on the call and he says to me, I thought my assistant was having me on. He says, how can it be that, I mean, is your name really Chicken and you want to meet with the Nando's guy? I said, my surname really is Chicken, and I do want to meet with the Nando's guy. And we had this interesting conversation about Nando's and how its brand is so effective. How many of you love the Nando's brand? We always wait for the latest Nando's ad, don't we, to see how they're going to roast some politician or, you know. But we had this very important conversation, actually, about an organization needing to understand who it is, its identity. If you're a business person today, this advice from Doug is worth the price of the admission ticket that you didn't pay to come to church today. He said every organization has to clearly, thoughtfully be able to articulate their identity. Who are they? So he says, let me give you an example. At Nando's, we have just 4 words which describe for us who we are. We are slick, smart, funny, and South African. Slick, smart, funny, and South African. That's who we are. Think about Nando's. Anytime you go to Nando's, you go into their stores or you use their app. It's slick, smart, funny, and South African. Think about their advertising when they roast somebody or there's something that happens in the country. We're always amazed, Pastor Ken and I are always amazed, like, how did they do that so quickly? Like, they're on the ball quickly, aren't they? Slick, smart, funny, and South African. It started a conversation for us as a church leadership, which has landed in a very, very helpful and healthy space. We asked the question, who are we as Thrive? And we landed on just four words. Many of you, you'll know this. If you're new to our church today, this is going to be good for you to hear. If you've been coming for a little while and you've forgotten, this is good for you to hear. Thrive's identity, we are warm, authentic, passionate, and future-minded. Warm, authentic, passionate. Thank you. And future-minded. We are warm, authentic, passionate, and future-minded. And it's reflected in our logo, it's reflected in our color, it's reflected in our people. Do me a favor, guys, if you wouldn't mind, those who've got a How Can I Serve You shirt on, would you just pop up and stand up quickly just so we can see who you are? Do you notice the words on their shirt? It says, How Can I Serve You? And what color is that in? Orange. That's not orange. No, no, no. That is Thrive Orange. We don't just somehow have orange. We have Thrive Orange. Let me ask you, what color are my shoelaces? Because you live the brand, right? So we choose our cars. We buy orange cars. We dye our children's hair, Thrive Orange. We do what you've got to do. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. Thank you. Some of them are like, is he going to let us sit down now? Our colors Thrive Orange. Why? Because it's warm and because it's energetic. Our color describes who we are. We're warm, authentic, passionate, and future-minded. You couldn't have a church that says we're warm, authentic, passionate, and then make it ice blue, the logo, could you? It's got to be orange. Why? Because orange, there's energy. Yesterday, I had to preach for a friend of mine at their conference, and they had built one of these big altars, like a big stone altar. It was like a monster thing, like what Abraham would have put Isaac on, you know, a big stone altar. But this thing had fire coming out of it. The altar was burning. Like, as I come up to preach, I see flames licking the ceiling almost. So I said to them, thanks for providing the fire and the flame. I'm the chicken, and together we are flame-grilled chicken. Because it just tastes. There we go. Anyway, I was looking at those flames, and the flames are, you know, that firstly, it was as hot as Hades on that stage because the fire was burning for like half an hour. So I was like T.D. Jakes, and he did a Hank. But I was watching these flames. These flames were moving all the time, and I thought to myself, it's orange. It's such a warm color. It's so much energy in it, so much movement. It's never static. It's always dynamic. The Thrive Orange logo represents that we're always dynamic. The Thrive Orange E is forward-looking. Look at the E in the Thrive logo. Which way is it looking? Not backwards, forwards. Why? Because we're always leaning forward. You see, we are warm, authentic, passionate, and future-minded. And so even the E in our logo leans forward. Our color leans forward. Our color's got energy. Our color represents passion. That's who we are. So important that as a church, we come back. And if I just remind you of that every time we can or any time it's possible, we're warm, authentic, passionate, and future-minded. So if you think you're going to be a Wimbledon crowd today, I've got news for you. We don't do Wimbledon crowd. We do Springbok rugby crowd. Are you with me? We do English football crowd. Name your team. Who do you want it to be? Liverpool. Liverpool, at least. Liverpool. We do Anfield on a good day. Are you with me? That's who we are. Warm, authentic, passionate, future-minded. What do? We help people move towards Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the ultimate life. Jesus taught us the ultimate way to live. If you're looking for a way to live, simply follow Jesus. He'll lead you into the best, most life-giving way of living you could ever imagine. There's no better way to live in this world than live like Jesus lived. What do? We help people move towards Jesus. How do we do it? Be with him. Become like him, do what he did. We just want to help people move towards Jesus by teaching each one of us how to learn to be with Jesus. That's devotional. That's our devotional lives. And then as we spend time with him, as we be with him, what happens is we become like him. That's formational. We start to be formed like Jesus. And then we start to do what he did. That's missional. Are you with me today? So who are we? We're warm, authentic, passionate, future-minded. What do? Move people towards Jesus. How do we do it? Help them be with him, become like him, and do what he did. Our grounding theology, that we believe about God, first and foremost, is that God is good, God is kind, and God gave us a friendship, designed us, you and me, for friendship before there was any sense of the fall in the Garden of Eden. Before the devil ever entered the picture, God loved you and me and had a friendship with you and I, and that's a starting point to what we believe about God. Your theology determines everything about your life. What you believe about God determines exactly what you believe about life. Did you know that? Therefore, if you and I want to live healthily, if you and I want to live theologically with good in good space, we've got to remember that God first designed a friendship before there was a fall. God walked with his friends before there was ever a snake in the picture. And so, everything we do as a church is against that backdrop. And so once a year, we come together as a church family, and we give and sow generously over and above our normal tithes and offerings. We invest into the kingdom once a year. This is what we do as a church. Why do we do it? Because we believe God is good, because we believe that giving is good for us, because we want to follow what Jesus did, because Jesus was a giver, because Jesus gave of his life sacrificially and deeply and meaningfully. And so we come together and we give. If you're new with us today, maybe your first time in the building and you're wondering kind of what this is all about, this is once a year when as a church we come together on what we call Vision Offering Sunday, which happens to be today, and we sow and invest into the kingdom. Four reasons, Thrive, at 10 o'clock, why we give. Number one, we give because we take Jesus' teaching seriously. Luke wrote in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, and he recalled Jesus' teaching, and he said this, it's exceedingly important. It'll shape your whole generosity about your giving. He said, it's better to give than it is to receive.
Yeah, sure.
Now, at Christmas time, we still look forward to getting our gifts, and we think it's going to be more lacquer than what it actually is when we get our prezi. Don't know about you, but I always actually feel better giving than what I do. Even when I know Pastor Candace got me something amazing, and this year she's buying me a brand new Thrive Orange Maserati. I saw one in those little hobby shops, you know, where you see the little... I'm happy with that. Didn't say what size it has to be. But it's amazing, isn't it? We know it. We know Jesus' words are true. It is always better to give than it is to receive. Secondly, we give because Jesus taught us that giving tames the desire for money. There's nothing wrong with wealth, nothing wrong at all. If you're a business person, make as much money as legally as what you can. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to go forward in life and to be prosperous. There's nothing wrong with wealth whatsoever. In fact, I would say poverty is a curse and God actually wants to bless his people. However, having said that, Jesus also warned against the love of money. And so why we give is actually because it's that time of the year where we actually get our desire for cash. We get it under control and we say to ourselves, you know what? Left to my own devices, I love money too much. And so I'm going to give it away so that it doesn't become a lord in my life. Are you with me? I said you would not be a Wimbledon crowd today. Are you with me? Thirdly, because Jesus gave. He modeled giving. He gave his very life. Some people struggle to give financially against the shadow or while they live in the shadow of the cross upon which Christ gave his very life. Some people can't even give finances. Number four, we give because the kingdom comes through financial resources. The kingdom of God comes. What is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is anywhere where God's plans and God's purposes, God's will and God's ways are done on this earth. The kingdom is not some up in the sky concept. The kingdom is a real concept that comes whenever God's will and God's ways are being done in this world. I could say it this way. The kingdom comes whenever Jesus' teachings are heard and most importantly, put into practice, the kingdom comes. So when we give to the poor, the kingdom comes. Now, I want to read you a testimony from a lady called Cherry. She's the executive director for an organization many of you would have heard of because we gave to this organization just a few weeks ago. It's called Celebrate Life. Celebrate Life start micro bakery businesses in deeply impoverished areas in our country. They identify young people that they think have got potential, and they give them seed money, which is the money that Thrive sowed over the last few weeks into them. They give them seed money to start a micro bakery. Here's the email from Cherry. She said just this last week, "Hey guys, just an update for you on Jabulile and her bakery." This is the bakery that we invested into recently. "She's thriving down there." I love how she chooses her language. Thrive, it's a great word, isn't it? "And she's baking on average 36 loaves of bread per week, 144 snowballs a week, 180 muffins a week." Gosh, she's only in her first month of getting the bakery up and running. "Her total profit is already, her net profit after paying all of her expenses already exceeds 4,000 rand a month." Straight away, in month one, she's feeding her family and creating work in the community. Isn't that awesome? God is good, hey? And she says, "Thanks so much. We've got so many other identified bakers if you want to support another Ubuntu micro bakery project. Warm regards, Cherry." Every pastor, every church leader, every church leadership has to decide what's the diet that this church is going to receive. I could give you a prosperity diet. I could give you a legalism diet. As leaders, we could give you a diet that consists of an angry God. It's so important that a church has, and each one of us, we receive in our church, a balanced diet when it comes to teaching. A balanced diet is so, so important. In other words, a diet that includes not only the fact that God wants you to go forward and Jesus teaches you the ultimate way to live in this life, but also that the Christian faith, being a Christ follower, involves deep levels of surrender, deep levels of sacrifice, deep levels of letting go of things that we love. And one of the things that we love so easily and so, so easily is money. You know, this past week I took a lunchbox to work, and towards the end of the day I looked in the lunchbox to see what more I had there to eat because I was hungry. And to my disappointment, I pulled out my little box of carrots. That's what was left. You see, the point was I chowed all the lacquer stuff, and all that was left was the carrots. But I knew I needed the carrots. I packed the carrots because I knew I needed a balanced diet. A lot of people come to church, they want the sweets, they want the donuts, they want the Krispy Kremes. Raise your hand if you love a good Krispy Kreme. It's a collective sigh of, oh. How many of you know we need carrots? Vision offering is a time when we come and we balance the diet. It's so, so, so important. It'll be on the screens. A healthy teaching diet focuses on what we as people need, not simply on what we want. How do we give? How do we give? I'm going to take the entire body of New Testament scripture, and I'm going to condense it for us in a few minutes. I'm going to take all of the wisdom that Jesus himself offered, as well as the Apostle Paul in his New Testament writings. I'm going to condense it down for all of us today in just a few minutes, and I'm going to give you what the scripture has to say about how we should give. We know we should give, right? I've said the reasons we give are the reasons we give, but how we give is so important. Okay, ready to go? Number one, we give with a pure motive. Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't do your charitable deeds in front of men. In other words, don't do it where people can see you and where it's like a In other words, don't do it for any other reason than you want to please God. So we give with a pure motive. Number two, we give to please God. Jesus said in Matthew 6, your Father in heaven who sees, he will see and he will reward you. In other words, guys, this is so important. You and I, we live for an audience of one. Everything about our lives, our thoughts, our motives, our words, everything we do in our lives, how we conduct ourselves should be to please God, including our giving. As you give later in the service, ask yourself, is this giving pleasing to God? Third, we give as an act of worship. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16, and he says this, on the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of the money you've earned. In other words, that first day of the week, that's when they had church. That's when they came together as church. Pastor Ken and I and the staff, we teach the staff this. We never come to a church service. We never come to a service where we don't give. We give in every single service. Why? Because we're gathered as the church. And part of my worship, there's an extension of my worship to giving. In other words, here's the thing. I don't simply worship with raised hands. I worship with my resources. It's impossible for a Christ follower to come and worship with raised hands and then not worship with resource. Resource is a powerful way that we worship God. Hey, number four, we give proportionately. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 8, and he says, give according to what you have, not what you don't have. In other words, those who've been given much, Jesus said, much is required of you. Those who've been given little, just make sure that it's sacrificial to you. Whatever, it's not the amount, it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. If you've been given large amounts of money, God expects you to give a large amount of money. If you've been given a little amount of money, God expects you to give the little, but as long as it's sacrificial, as long as it's an act of surrender. Guys, can I say to us, as a church, I think we're developing a poor habit of walking around in the services. And so I'm going to ask for us not to do that. How many of you go to a movie and don't go for a wee in the middle of the service? Amen? So can we stop the walking? And can we just be respectful to God's house? Amen. I know it frustrates a lot of you, so I'm surfacing it now. And some people might feel like I'm picking on them. But it's important that we shape our culture. And our culture is not a walking around in the service culture. Amen. I told you weren't going to be a Wimbledon crowd today. Can you say amen? Next, we give eagerly. 2 Corinthians 8. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. In other words, with a front foot. With the Thrive E that leans forward. Next, we give thoughtfully. This is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but if you sow generously, you reap it. It's just a law of the universe. There's no way of bypassing it. There's no way of shortcutting it. There's no way of clicking accept all cookies. You can't do it. So, how many of you know if I drop this glass right now, Tatum's going, please don't. If I drop this glass right now, which way would it go? Like that, right? Yes? It's a pity that the water doesn't go up, hey, Tatum. It's just, it can't, hey? It just doesn't do it. It's a law. As we sow generously, we reap it just is a law. You can't get around it. I can't get around it. And so we give thoughtfully. What I'm saying is we give thoughtfully, thinking about the link between what we sow and what we reap. And as we sow generously, we reap generously. It might be financial, but it might be health-wise, it might be emotionally, it might be the blessing of God on your family, whatever it is. We give cheerfully. God loves 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. I know I'm messing with the order, guys. For God loves a person and who gives cheerfully. Actually, the Greek word there is hilaros, which is where we get hilarious from. But God's kind of saying you should give like you're at a comedy show. That's how you should give. You should give like it's a Trevor Noah thing going on. 7, we should give freely. 2 Corinthians 9, 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Nobody in our church should ever feel pressurized, controlled, coerced, or manipulated to give. Why? Because God doesn't need our money. We need to give for our own followership of Jesus. Because the kingdom comes in us, and then it comes through us. So that's why we give, and that's how we give. Last year, what did we give? Boxburg, our vision offering last year was a total of 1,127,463 rand. Isn't that amazing? God is so good. Give yourselves a round of applause. Edenvale's vision offering last year, remarkable, 421,065 rand. Can you believe it? After the year we had as a church, hey? Crazy. You saw what the money went on last year in the clip, just as we recounted the miracles. She's refilling my glass. Thank you so much. I'm really sorry that I was so... I'm just giving you work. Sorry. It's another little illustration later, but we'll get there later. As we look forward now, this year, what are we giving towards this year? A couple of things in Boxburg that are so, so important. Firstly, our minor hall, what we call our kids' zone space, adjacent to this. Many of you have been in that. We're giving towards that to create a truly, truly remarkable next-gen space. We want it to really become an incredibly beautiful next-gen space for our people. Look at that. There we go. So, you'll see what we've done with the lighting. We'll see what the lights on the ceiling. You can just see some of the, this is kind of the, some of the thoughts that we've got. We need new stage lighting there. We need new projector. We need new screen. We need new lighting on the ceiling. We need to bring that in and make it warm, make it passionate, make it future-minded. That venue needs to speak to our values. It needs to have Thrive Orange in it somewhere along the line. Are you with me? And it needs to speak to that. So that space, now you cannot believe how much the technology costs. You cannot believe what it'll cost to get that venue to a standard that is like our auditorium. It's big cash, so we need big cash. Secondly, Boksburg, we're going to be investing and sowing into our Edenvale campus, just as they've been sowing and investing into our Boksburg and our online campus. And so we're going to be sowing into them. We're going to show you some renders on the screen of what we have intended for Edenvale. We want to bring the foyer area out. We want to lift the roof. We want to create a massively beautiful, big, welcoming area that says welcome to church. We feel like it's too closed in and too small at the moment. We want to extend the cafe there, put a ceiling over the deck on the cafe, just create much more connection space and much more beautiful space. That's kind of what it could look like. It's a multi-year project. So we're building up resource towards that. We want to create a staircase on either side of the foyer entrance area so that we can prepare ourselves for a balcony. Because in Edenvale, the next step there for their auditorium is to have a balcony. Can you imagine a balcony wrapping around like that? I said in the Edenvale campus, I think that would really, really be pimping the church out. And then they said, no, pimp's not a good word to say in church, so I'm not going to say that. Not going to talk about it being pimped out. I'm going to say that it's rather nice. They're amazing. So lots of vision for that campus. We continue to sow and invest into our online capabilities as well. There's so much that we want to do. And of course, if you just look at our Boksburg campus last year, what happened with our, they are just spectacular, the kids' own classes. We built them, we extended them, we decored them, we made them beautiful. We built an entire new office block and office section. Your money has been used to great effect. And of course, this year, in addition to Edenvale, and in addition to that kids zone area becoming a next gen space and a beautiful multi-purpose space where youth and kids can both feel welcome, we're going to be double tithing. We're going to be increasing our giving as a church this year. We're going to be double tithing. 10% to Shine to continue to take their literacy program to the next level, their tutoring and their mentoring programs to the next level. So we're going to give a cash injection into Shine, and we're going to give 10% to a church in Katlehong that you've heard about that was burnt down during the looting, and they need the money to be able to get started with the rebuilding of the project. And we're going to come along and we're going to put the last few financial blocks in place for them so that they can get their church rebuilt. I'm trusting that in a few months' time, we'll be able to show you pictures of the walls going up in that church. How awesome will that be? So, all of this detail is online on the front page of our website and on our app. You can also click on the Connect little QR code if you hover your camera over that and open your camera, hover that over the Connect sign. It'll open up a menu for you. Vision offering is the first one on the menu. We've gone paperless. We've gone digital because we live in a new world. We're not going to spend bucket loads of money printing brochures anymore because it's just a waste of money. Everything's online. You can see it all there. All good. Our spaces matter. Our church spaces matter. Think with me for a moment, if you don't mind. Think about your holiday, where you'd love to go on holiday. Some of you might be thinking sea. Some of you might be thinking mountains. Some of you might be thinking Karoo, whatever. Think about how your soul breathes in a different space. There's a fundamentally important theological concept, and that is that our souls do different things in different spaces. And our vision always has been that people that step onto a Thrive campus, they step into an atmosphere of excellence, where excellence honors God and inspires people, where they step into an environment where they go, you know what, the parking lines here are painted, unlike out there in the streets. All the lights work. The flower beds are frequently refreshed. The deck is cleaned. The tables are spotless and beautiful. The auditorium is cool in summer and warm in winter. The chairs are straight. Every single one of you have got a little thing on your chair. There's social distancing signs. The atmosphere and the environment must be excellent so your soul can breathe and go. That's the kind of church we are. We don't build bad spaces. We build great spaces. And great spaces take money. The Thrive E looks to the future. There's a clip that you're going to watch now, beautifully put together by our creative team, of a man writing as his future you back to himself in the chair today. Have a look, and then I'll lead us into our giving after that. Thanks, team.
Dear you, I'm reaching out to express a truth, a reality, a forecast of a vision promised, and as a right, a vision lived. That's what I'm endeavoring to write a letter. One from me to me, but from a me not too far from now, who can see past the moment in which we find ourselves. Look, I know things are hard. For months you've hardly left your yard. Normal seems like a house of cards, and too many things are breaking your heart. Before one crisis was even done, here comes the next one. Another hard lockdown, another looting, another COVID case, another job loss. I see our vision can be stifled, subdued, brushed aside as an unnecessary burden in a present context filled with a tsunami of unnecessary burdens. But can I remind you of what a God-ordained vision can do for the heart, for the soul, as you contemplate sowing the future? If only you could see a future sown. A shy little girl entering kids' zone, clinging to her parents, but leaving so captivated that she's compelled to know more about the love of Jesus. If you could see what I see, a teenage boy wrestling with identity, finding his home in the presence of Christ in a hall revamped for his phase of life. If you could see what I see, a family being directed to the balcony and like dominoes, each being impacted by the gospel, one at a time, on seats you can't yet fathom. Oh, and if you could see what I see, a literacy program expanded, a rejuvenated church in Catlahong, gathering in their freshly painted walls, finally praising under a roof that once laid in ruins after being looted and burned to the ground. If you could see what I see, I suspect you'll exhume your hope, your pluck, to remember that you're not stuck, but instead you are built different. Because where the average perished without a vision, you come alive at the future you're sowing. I'm not trying to pretend that all the world's boulders sit solely on your shoulders. After all, you belong to the one who set the course of the sun, whose power is second to none, who knew this day would come. God will do what only He can do. But sometimes, friend, He's waiting on you, ready for you to make a move, to remember that you are infused with His power. So I'm writing from the future to say that greatness awaits as long as you trust in the one bigger than us. You're built different. We're built different. Try faith on for size. Sincerely, the more wise of us two. The future you.
Wow. Powerful, isn't it? Heard a story the other day, it deeply impacted me, about a man who was talking to his friend and talking about the cost of raising his daughter. He was saying, listen, this girl is starting to cost me so much, this cost of school fees and cost of clothes and shoes and all of these things. And then she died. And then he said to his friend, with deep regret in his voice and in his eyes, now she costs me nothing. The thing is, only living things have needs. Only living churches have needs. It's only dead churches that don't cost us anything, because there's no life going on. But where there's life, there's need. And there's investment required. Today, can I ask you to locate this little pledge form on your seat? And we're going to head into time where we give now. So can I ask you to grab it, be on the seat next to you. There's a couple of ways that you can give today. Firstly, if you brought cash for the offering, you could take that, complete this little pledge form, pop it in the white envelope that's next to it, and put that into the offering as it comes in just a moment's time. If you want to snap scan, the QR codes are on the pledge form. Again, just complete the form and reference on your snap scan vision offering and your name so we can administer it well. If you want to EFT, the banking details are also on this form. You could load Thrive as a beneficiary if you haven't done so already. And reference, fill out the form, but reference on your deposit, vision offering, and your name. Or you could pledge. You'll notice there's a little space there for pledge. And that's if you want to tick pledge, and then you could put the pledge details there. So you want to pledge whatever amount, and by May 2022 is what we're asking. Many of us, we receive tax refunds. Some of you receive dividends or kind of the bonuses or 13th checks. And so while you might not have cash now, it suits many people to be able to pledge so that they can do that before May 2022. Pastor Ken and I always lead from the front with our giving. We're always in the top three at least givers in our church when it comes to vision offering, particularly because we believe we would never ask you to make a sacrifice that we don't make ourselves as well. And so we're pledging this year. It's going to hurt us. We're going to try and figure it out. We'll trust God for it. The point is, it shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't be comfortable. You shouldn't actually know how you're going to do it, but there needs to be a measure of faith with it. How should we be giving today? We should be giving all together. Every single one of us that calls Thrive our home, in this moment now, we should be completing a pledge form and completing this little form and preparing our offering. I'm going to pray for us. And as I do so, I'm going to give you space to begin to complete that now. The pens are located in the holders in the next to your chair. And then pop this little form into the white envelope and pop that into the offering. How should we give? To please God. As an act of worship, proportionately, eagerly, thoughtfully, understanding the relationship between sowing and reaping, freely, never compelled, cheerfully, and in a way that brings the kingdom to earth in our lives and through our lives. Come, let's pray together. And here's your moment. You can start your writing and doing all the things you need to do admin-wise right now. Father, in this moment, we're so grateful. We're so thankful. We really are just wanting to say to you in this moment, thank you for what you've done for us, for how you have blessed and kept us, for the many gifts that you have placed in our lives, for the wonderful things that you have done for us. We can count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, can't count them all, Lord. And as we give today, we pray that you would give us faith. Stir us, Holy Spirit, to take big steps of faith, to be God-honoring and pleasing to you in our offering, to see your kingdom come. And we pray, Lord, that you take the finance, multiply it, make it stretch, God. Help get us good deals on every single rand we need to spend. Give us wisdom to steward it well. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the generosity in this house as we continue to move forward, as we continue to trust you with the future. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The team are going to receive the offering now. As they do so, please pop it in this like that. And then we're going to worship together. So once you've placed your envelope in the offering, feel free to stand and let's worship together as we trust God for all that he's going to do. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.